Thank you. Bill Mueller will come forth and read. Haven't heard Bill read in a while. Nice. I just want to remind you that Junior Church will start next Sunday. Am I right? I believe I'm right. And the Bible class will start at 9:30 next Sunday. What topic are y'all on, do you know?
I'm going to begin by talking about the history of the church and then go into the description of the Presbyterian Church.
Okay, be talking about the scriptures, the history, and the history of the Presbyterian Church. So I know you want to come out.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture comes from Acts. It describes what the church was in those times, and it is a model for us now. It describes prayer, it describes meditation, it describes fellowship with people supporting one another. The scripture begins with the statement that there were thousands of people added after hearing the gospel preached by Peter. And by the fellowship of the church, more were added. So please listen to Acts 2, 41 through 47 for your own personal message. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, as many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Before I begin my official message, I just want to thank you for allowing me to be pastor at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this fellowship. There's so many kind and loving and good people here. When I went on vacation in the July, August, I was tired. I mean, we all get tired sometimes from our work, and this is a vocation, it's a calling, but it's still a job. When I came back, I had to do so much for my father, I didn't really get the vacation that I had hoped for. And when I came back, I told someone that I just wasn't ready to come back. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was still just tired and felt a little confused. And then last Sunday, after working on my sermon, I woke up that Sunday morning and I was elated. And I found myself kind of surprised. I wanted to come to church so desperately, I couldn't even believe it. I was so excited to come back to Glenshaw Valley, so excited not just to preach the Word of God, but to be with you, the priesthood of believers, part of the fellowship of the church worldwide. And it is an honor to be your pastor. It is an honor to be a part of Glenshaw Valley. When things are good, when they're medium, and sometimes when things are rough for me, it's still an honor, it's a privilege, and I thank you. God bless you. You know, it's so easy to hit the snooze button on Sunday morning, isn't it? Be honest. When the alarm sounds at 7 or whatever time that you get up, you want to roll over, go back to sleep. When my alarm went off this morning, I thought it was a trick. I couldn't believe it. Maybe you had every intention some Sundays that you missed of going to church. Maybe Sunday school too. You even had your clothes laid out, but your sleepy side wins out. And you satisfy your conscience with, well, there's always next Sunday. Then again, we have to ask ourselves, why church? Why do I even go to church? Why do I bother with church? You go to school to get an education so you can make a living. You go to work to make money so you can pay the bills. You go to the gym so you can exercise to have better health. You go to the mall to shop for clothes and a grocery store to buy food. You go to the lake to fish, and you go to a ballpark to cheer on your team. But church, why go there? Why get up early on one of the few days off? Why go through all the hassle of getting dressed and getting the kids ready? Why go to church? If you've ever found yourself wondering about that little question, you're not alone. Surveys tell us that today is far different from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. 79% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. I run into them all the time. You're a Christian? Yes. Where do you go to church? Well, I don't go to church. Okay. Yet, statistics tell us only 20% of Americans attend church on a regular basis. So I guess some people look at going to church as a bother, an unnecessary burden to be avoided whenever possible. Others see it as sort of like a punching spiritual clock or earning brownie points with their maker. Well, I gotta go, or, you know, God may send me to hell if I don't go to church this Sunday. But to someone who understands church and what it really is all about, going to church can be the most spiritually fulfilling, inspiring thing that you do all week. The book of Acts tells the story of how the church got started. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, sent the Holy Spirit to empower his disciples. And they went out and began preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And millions of people listened. Thousands believed. Then at the end of Acts 2, we find this short snapshot of what life was like in the early church. Looking at the example of this very first group of Christians reveals five reasons why the church exists and why you should be a part of a church. The first thing that the church brings into our lives is membership. The church gives us a place to belong. The passage Bill read in Acts is absolutely flooded with fellowship. The Bible says all the believers devoted themselves to fellowship and to sharing in meals. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Jesus gave these new believers a sense of community, a sense of belonging, and a sense of togetherness at a level that you cannot find, I believe, anywhere else in the world or in any other organization. All of us need a place and want a place to belong. All of us need to be part of something bigger than ourselves. All of us need to experience family. All of us need to experience fellowship. Vance Packard calls America a nation of strangers, and studies show that four out of ten people experience a feeling of intense loneliness on a regular basis, every day. Our American culture produces people who feel closer and identify more with characters on television than they do with their next door neighbors. Everywhere you look, there are signs that people are hungering for fellowship, for community, for a sense of family. Beer commercials, watch them closely. They don't really sell beer. They sell fellowship. If you drink this beer, then you've got a family. We all drink together. Advertisers don't portray someone drinking alone. It's usually in the context of enjoying each other's company. People long to be connected. There are many analogies for a Christian disconnected from a church. A football player without a team. A soldier without a platoon. A sheep without a flock. But the most understandable and biblical picture is that of a child without a family. That family is the church. God does not want his children growing up in isolation from each other. He doesn't. So he created a spiritual family here upon this earth. A Christian without a church family is really an orphan. This fall, when you see the geese heading south for the winter, flying in their famous V formation, we've all seen it, you might be interested in knowing that science has discovered why they fly that way. It's not by accident. As each bird flaps its wing, it creates uplift for the bird immediately following. And by flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds at least 71% greater flying range than if the geese flew alone. Christians who share a common direction and a sense of community can get where they are going quicker and easier because they are traveling on the thrust of one another. Also, when a goose gets sick or wounded and falls out of formation, two other geese follow him, stay with him, and protect him, either until he is able to fly or until he is dead. And then they launch out to catch up with the rest of the group. Jesus gave us the church so that we could do the same for one another, support each other and stand by each other, even when we're down and out, when we're at our lowest moment. So church also gives us an opportunity to magnify the God who made us. In case no one has ever told you this, it's not all about you. It's about Jesus. And I think in the church, we forget that. I want this. I want this. I want this. What does Jesus want from us? Church gives us an opportunity to worship God the Father and His Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. Life is busy and hectic, and we're so distracted so easily. And all of life should be worshiped, but it's not. So church gives us 1 hour a week when we can laser focus our attention on God and worship together as the family of God. I've always liked how David described worship out of Psalm 34:3. He says, "Glorify the Lord with me." Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt the name together. Community, fellowship. Do you know what it means to magnify something? I think most of us do. A magnifying glass makes things look larger and easier to visualize. The same thing happens when we magnify or worship God. God becomes bigger in our hearts and our lives as we stand in awe of His incredible beauty, His inexpressible splendor, and His incomprehensible wonder. If you let yourself be truly immersed in worship, no matter what style of worship you prefer, you will feel God's presence in this place, and it will stay with you. The church also helps lead us to spiritual maturity. The early Christians were committed to learning more about Jesus, who was the focus of the apostles' teaching, and growing to become more like Him. Let me explain something I don't think a lot of preachers are going to tell you. We don't study the Bible so we can just be biblically smart and spout off scriptures and be smart in Sunday school or out in public. We study the Bible so that through it, the Holy Spirit can change us and make us more like Jesus Christ. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. God wants us to develop in you the kind of character described on the Sermon on the Mount. He wants you to have the fruits of the Spirit, and He wants you to move into the Paul's 13th chapter in Corinthians, the great love chapter. The Holy Spirit uses a variety of methods to lead us into Christ-likeness. He often uses the circumstances of life, trials and tragedies, to shape our character. He uses worship, as Emerson once noted, "It behooves us to be careful what we worship, for what we are worshiping, we are becoming." He also uses other people. Fellowshipping with people who are more spiritually mature than we are helps us to grow. He definitely uses prayer. The more time you spend with God, the more you are starting to sound like God. But I still believe the tool he uses most than any other thing is his word. In fact, the Bible calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit. As Rick Warren puts it, and I like this, he says, "The Spirit of God uses the word of God to make you more like the Son of God." When you come to church and to the fellowship of other spiritually growing people and hear the word of God being preached, it teaches you what it really means to be like Jesus. It challenges you to follow in his footsteps, and hopefully it inspires you and equips you to be able to do it. So the church helps us to grow into spiritual maturity. And going to church also prepares you for ministry. While the apostles were out healing the sick, blind, and crippled, other Christians were helping the poor and looking out for one another. This points us to another great reason that the church exists on earth. You should be a part of it. Ministry. You were put on earth to make a contribution. You weren't created just to consume resources, just to eat, drink, and take up space. God designed you with a purpose in life to make a difference with your life. While many best-selling books offer advice on how to get the most out of life, that's not really why God made you. You were created to add to life on earth. God wants you to give something back. The Bible says in Ephesians, "God has made us what we are. In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. These good works are your ministry." God has a ministry for you, and the best place for you to discover that ministry and start fulfilling your ministry is within the church. Unlike the apostles, we can't all go around healing the sick, and we don't all have the resources to sell property and give to the poor. But we all, each and every one of you, have a special gift, an ability, and experiences and interests that you can use for ministry. But we hear that word ministry, and we get scared. But if you love to cook, when someone in our church is sick, especially for an extended period of time, you can cook a meal and take it to that person or to that family. If you've got a heart for kids, then you probably should be working with children's ministry. Who better to help a recovering alcoholic than someone who fought that demon and found freedom? If you've been through the tragedy of divorce, God can use you to comfort others who are experiencing that same heartache. The possibilities are limitless. Unfortunately, for all of us, I'll include myself, the excuses can be limitless too. If you've been saved and you're not involved in any service or ministry, what excuses are you using? Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Gideon was poor. David had an affair and all kinds of family trouble. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Naomi was a widow. The Samaritan woman had 5 failed marriages. Thomas had doubts. And Timothy was timid. Yet God used each and every one of them in his service, and he will use you too. Finally, being a part of the church helps us to understand and carry out life's mission. The church's mission is the same as Christ's mission, to seek and to save the lost. When you get saved, when you become a Christian, join a church, Jesus adds you to his church, and therefore his mission becomes your mission. In church, we all have the same mission, to share the good news of Jesus to a broken world. You might fulfill your mission by sharing your testimony, the story of how you came to Jesus and what he's done in your life. It could be coming up here one Sunday morning, or it could be a friend, a neighbor, someone at work, a family member. Or you might carry out your mission by telling the good news, explaining the sacrificial death and resurrection of Christ and what it means to the world. Be surprised how many people have no idea. Or maybe you will accomplish your mission by simply inviting people to church and letting them come into the church to fellowship, hearing the word, and have their life changed. The church in Jerusalem grew from 120 to 3,000 in one day. By Acts 4, that number had risen to 5,000. By Acts 6, they were too many to count, all because they had a mission to get out and tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this question. Is anyone going to be in heaven because of you? Will anyone be in heaven be able to say to you when you're there, I just want to thank you for inviting me to church, or I want to thank you for proclaiming the good news to me so that I could understand and I had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? Imagine the joy of greeting people in heaven whom you helped to get there. The eternal salvation of a single soul is more important than anything that you will ever achieve in this life. Everything else dries up, goes away. Everything. And I hope that I've given you enough reasons to get up next Sunday and come to church. The truth is, church isn't just something you attend. Church is something that you are. When you understand what it means to not just go to church, but when you understand what it is to be the church, you discover life's true purpose. You are made to be a member of the family. You are made to glorify God, to mature in God's image, to be a minister of God's mercy, and a missionary of God's grace. May God bless each and every one of you. Amen. Our closing hymn, 284, I'm so glad they chose this song, Mickey did, because, like I said, we can have all the knowledge, but we have to display it in love. Without love, we actually run people off with our knowledge and our attitudes. They'll know we are Christians by our love.